Love this podcast? Support this show through the Acast Supporter feature. It's up to you how much you give and there's no regular commitment. Just hit the link in the show description to support now.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free. Or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Morning
world.
Yes,
running commentary
the day, as we've just been saying, the day after the big old storm. It's still lingering, isn't it? But it's obviously better.
It's puffing, but it's not sure than it was. And we need to watch out because we could be hit by little bits of wood. There's a tree down just over there, just the other side of the bridge.
Yes.
We're starting on the Parkland Walk, as is so often the case. Look, that's come down from above.
There'll be little bits of detritus. I was meant to go for a run in yesterday morning, but I was just that old Sunday morning, absolutely exhausted thing after two really late nights. I just couldn't do it. Lots of gigs up north, really, really late nights and loads of driving.
Yep.
I just couldn't do it.
We've got to be realistic about that. You know, I don't think your commitment to the process is in question. And it was terrible weather yesterday.
Yeah, it was just I was just too tired. I thought this will be dangerous if I go out. Not just dangerous because it's dangerous, but just for me, you know.
Yeah, you lose focus, fall over, injure yourself, whatever it might be. So, we are going to try and get a few miles in today.
Yeah, because
have you got a plan of a route?
Not really. Just up Tygate Wood and loops round was a little. Probably about. I'm thinking about 10. If we do about 10,
let's do it. If we get double figures together, that'd be great.
Yeah.
So yeah, enough on the park and walk, and we'll see. But so you did lots of gigs. It took us the whole, because of course last time we spoke, it's less than a week ago, your book was about.
If you don't like it, don't bother with it.
Don't bother.
And no refunds.
That's all gone in real life. You've been on the radio. The book is out.
The book's out.
Literary Review has had to rush a new edition with a front
page special
story.
Yes. Well, yeah, I did. I've still got bits and bobs of publicity left, but essentially it's over. It's all about the big Wednesday, Thursday.
When it drops.
Yeah, when it dropped. And I really liked it. I found the first day really draining.
Yeah.
Well, I got used to it. And then the second day was when the big interviews were. So that was Chris Evans and then Radio 2, Steve Wright show in the afternoon.
And did you find a rhythm with in terms of what to say to comfortably sell the book?
Maybe. I don't. It's hard to say. I mean, you're just reacting to different people. I mean, it was a lot of it was just about panicking.
Yeah.
Getting in, doing the interview, really enjoy it, and then coming out and wondering what I've been panicking about.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
Right.
The cycle of showbiz.
Yeah, absolutely.
Especially for the Chris Evans one, because that felt big, and I felt lucky to get it and stuff. But of course, because he's so good,
yeah,
it was by far the most enjoyable, because he just creates an atmosphere where.
Yeah, and he's a good interviewer. He knows who.
And Vassos as well, and they're both really into running.
Who you know, who like what you like.
Yeah, but it was just like. You realise what good fun. Well, I remembered what good fun morning radio can be. It's just like joining a party for half an hour.
Yeah.
And it was just really, really good fun. And then the Steve Wright show in the afternoon was good. It was without Steve Wright. This guy was standing in. And this guy called Old Jay. The last time I'd seen him, he'd been hosting Nuts TV in the 90s.
Nice.
So it was like, it was a real weird blast from the 90s in every respect, you know.
Yeah, time travel.
But he was a nice fellow and it was good. It was all good.
Travel through time back to Nuts.
Yeah. I think you'd have a problem launching Nuts TV now. What do you reckon?
Yeah, I think that's good. Yeah, it's that base time travel. It's like Hot Tub Time Machine.
Yeah.
What would you do if ever time machine? Probably try and get off with someone.
Yeah. So it was... It's not my natural habitat, selling myself.
Yeah, yeah.
As we talked about last week. But I managed to just have fun and do it, and they seem
well,
happy.
Well, also, like you say, particularly when dread is too strong a word, but you're trepidatious, apprehensive about.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
It's likely to not be as bad as what you whip it up to in your head.
It's just because you don't do it as much. I used to be on radio all the time.
Yeah.
And now you don't do it anymore, so it gets a bit heightened.
Yeah.
But yeah, it was nice, and it did result in a spike of sales.
Great.
And the publishers were really happy, so it was all really successful. Yeah, it was good.
Great.
It was a laugh. And then I've got Robin Ince's book, Cosmic Book Shambles, this week.
Yeah, yeah.
Which I'm quite looking forward to.
Yeah.
And Runner's World podcast today. And then just bits and bobs, and that's essentially it, really. So.
Yeah, and it's great. The other thing is, this is really testament to A, where you are, B, the opportunities you're getting, and C, what running is, because what's nice about that is you can do the run. I don't want to make any assumptions about what they're going to be like, but it could be that the Runner's World podcast will be kind of talk to us about PBs and training, you know.
Yes, yeah, yeah, yeah.
And Robin Ince will be
talk about
what's
the book.
What does it truly mean in terms of
yes, talk about the writing of the book.
Consideration.
Yes, yeah, yeah.
How does
yeah.
running affect your philosophy? You know, and that's what we're all about.
It's nice to get a bit of both. Yeah, certainly. Certainly. So
no wonder you're tired. And then, so you did two days of that and went to Manchester.
2 days in Tuesday, and a fair bit of running in between.
Yeah.
And then I went to Manchester.
Take us, give us the running schedule from last Tuesday. We ran 10 last Tuesday.
Yeah, and then...
Slow but sure.
Yeah, I ran about 7 the next day, and then I ran 10 on Thursday in between the interviews.
Brilliant. At home?
Yeah, at home I came back and just ran 10.
Yeah.
And then I ran 5 on Friday, and then I just stopped. I had the weekend off. It's just, I was just too tired. It was one of those driving for 6 hours.
Yeah.
Well, all in all, I drove for about 9 hours on Friday.
Yeah.
Just left me really, really tired out. And then I did the Comedy Store, drove back, got in about 2:30, having feeling that the wind might just drive me off the motorway.
Yeah, yeah.
On the way
yeah.
back, every now and again you get a kind of scary little wobble.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And think, yeah, that's when it was just coming on, wasn't it?
Yeah, and think, is the wind strong enough to blow a car off a motorway? And does slowing down help, or is speeding up the best way? I literally couldn't work it out.
Yeah, and you don't really want that to be the issue, do you?
Yeah, yeah.
We used to borrow my father-in-law's little van. We borrowed it to a little, you know, really nice little van from his company that we used to move house. And in fact, I think I borrowed it to move a suite for a play I was doing.
Right.
And took it up to Oxford, and then drove it back down, empty down the M40.
Right.
It's like, oh my goodness.
Yeah.
I feel like I'm in a yacht.
Yes, yeah, yeah.
It's only a little van, but when the wind hit it, I'm like, oh, this is basically a boxcar on wheels. Yeah. It's just going to go, it's either going to go pank over on its side, or just fly off into the sky. But it didn't.
Yeah, no. I think it takes it's going to take something pretty powerful to actually to knock a car or a van over.
Yeah.
But it felt on the verge at times.
Yeah. You went on the verge.
Yeah, that was occasionally did veer off. Hopefully everyone. I've heard no tales of injury yet, so hopefully everyone got through it. But it was.
Yeah, fingers crossed.
It was a definite storm, though.
Oh yeah.
But I got slightly. Slightly tired of the social media. Call this a storm?
Yeah,
what?
Yeah,
all that kind of nonsense. Yeah. It's obviously a storm.
Yeah,
this is a storm.
Yeah. The other thing is, because I fell out with someone years ago about how people weren't having it because the storm was in London.
Right.
And there was someone in the north of England going, oh, you didn't blow the cappuccino out of your hand.
Right.
I know, but 2 people died.
Yeah.
My tiny daughter was crying because she saw a tree that had come down and gone through the windscreen of a car. So,
you know,
we actually have weather.
It still counts. There's
other
weather.
Parts of the world where
there's weather humans. Everywhere, yeah.
But that escalated in a completely different direction.
Right.
So ultimately, it was just a lesson in the internet.
Yeah.
Because I'm a bit offended. And then the guy was like, I'm offended that you're offended.
So we just came up the park one way there. Not too bad, was it? There's bits and bobs of...
There's little tree. There's no... The biggest thing I saw was just south of your place was the... A little tree was down. But we saw a full-size tree on the overground.
Right.
Just in the hybrid corner. And yesterday, it's funny because we were at Marylebone and all the trains were delayed and the one behind the counter said, don't buy a ticket.
Right.
Because they're going to cancel them all. And I phoned my mum.
Yeah.
It's really good news in the end because my mum had laid on a really nice fancy afternoon tea.
Right.
For a treat for my belated, my wife's belated birthday.
Yeah, that's nice.
And I was just on the phone saying, we're not going to make it. And an announcement said, the tracks are now open.
Oh, that's
and we
good.
Got on the train, we were going to be on in the first place and everything. So,
oh, that's good, because a lot of people got stranded, didn't they?
Yeah, that's right.
And how about your running? How did yours? So like, I managed about 35 miles last week. I thought I was going to manage a lot more.
Yeah.
But, you know, I just lost a long run.
Well, I'm in a funny spot right now. I think at some point a few months ago, I was a little bit blasé about someone saying they'd lost their running mojo.
Right.
But I think the running's... Training's been going pretty hard, and the running's been going pretty well. And it's just left me aching.
Right.
And feeling sad.
Really?
Yeah. But
what, in terms of, like, you feel a bit worn down by it?
Yeah, exactly.
Okay.
But, so last week was Monday, Thursday, 9. We did 10.
Yeah.
I did 7 on Wednesday. And then I did a kind of tempo, 7.5 on Thursday.
Right.
It's not great, actually.
Yeah.
Just to be able to hold a good pace.
Yeah.
For a sustained run like that. And then I thought I'd take some time off and go for the, try and feel a little bit tapered for the...
For the 10K.
Victoria Park 10K.
Right.
A run through the same one we did before.
Yeah. Same course?
Yep.
Right.
And, of course, a keynote here is once you get into training, a day off does not necessarily count as a recovery. You know,
doesn't
what I mean?
Necessarily do what you need it to, no.
And still, even though I've been doing quite a lot of running every day, I still think it doesn't really suit. And if I do want to actually recover, 24 hours isn't going to do it.
Yeah, you know?
But anyway... this is me moaning about it now. You know, that was a good run on Thursday.
Yeah.
Really enjoyed the downtime on Friday.
Right.
And by Saturday, I felt a little bit... I felt crappy. I felt tired.
Where were you gigging on Friday?
I did 2 gigs on Friday. Did a new one at the Vauxhall Comedy Club.
Right.
It was absolutely great, actually, but it was very hip.
Yeah.
And I had fun with the fact that I was... You know, not just an older comedian, but kind of the oldest person.
Right.
I think in the postcode.
Yeah. Yeah.
But in a good way, it was fun. I loved it. So nice to do a new gig. And it is important, I think, these days, particularly in London, to be able to have a good, relatable set for kind of hip mid-20s.
Yes, yeah, because you're going to...
that's who the audience are.
You're going to bump into them.
And it's
definitely
good.
Yeah.
And conversely, that's what I mean about being fun, because... You don't want to pretend. There's no pretending you're the same age as them.
No.
Yeah, that was really valuable from that point of view. I had a great time.
Yeah.
And to walk into a gig in London I've never done.
Yes, that's nice. Yeah, yeah.
That was really great.
Yeah.
And because listeners won't necessarily know this, but I find that in general, audiences in London tend to skew a little bit younger than they do around the country.
Right.
Generally, I think...
Yes, maybe, yeah,
it's
yeah.
It's a bit of a... older person's game going to, I'm going to say older, not old.
Right.
But just a few years older.
Yeah.
But it's, maybe it's different in different places. Anyway, so I did that and then did the boat show.
Right.
And that was good fun. And then, yeah, just that classic, just on a bit of a come down after that week, I suppose.
Yeah.
On Saturday. And
just felt a bit tired
all
in the morning.
All the time I was like, you get up and do a run, why don't you just get and do a park run?
Yeah.
The 10K. And, of course, it's a lovely event, that Victoria Park.
It is a nice event. What, is it early in the morning?
It's not that early. It runs off at 5:10.
Right, so it's not crazy early.
Just going to not get tangled up with this. Yeah. Sorry, I came down the wrong side. So, yeah, you remember what it's like. It's a good scene, you know, they're very... cool about starting the race. So you can be kind of standing, drinking a coffee with Baz.
Right.
7 minutes before you hit the start line.
Yes,
you know?
Yeah.
And I did, I got down there, wore my big warm coat.
Right.
Had a nice chat with the marshal. Thank you, marshal.
Yeah, thank you, marshal.
Drank a coffee. And then knowing the course was really good, really valuable, going back and doing it again.
Yes, yeah,
and
yeah.
And I did visualise it as a giant park run.
Right.
Because that's the whole point, just three laps and try and hold as if you're running at full pace for
right.
10k instead of 5, you know.
Yeah. Easier said than done, though. It's not, it's not an easy thing. It's more of a state of mind, isn't it?
Yeah. Just in such a weird place with running. It just feels so much stronger and so much better at leaning into the training, and I'm just slower.
Right.
But well, equally, okay. It's like you were saying, you can't run... You know, that was basically the last... 6 miles.
Right.
...of the longest week's running I've done this year.
Yes.
So...
Yeah, you're not gonna.
Isn't gonna change the fact that my legs aren't giving everything, you know.
No, you're in deep training mode, aren't you?
But I went out and I felt strong. Went out steady at the beginning.
Right.
The thing is, there's three laps with a little hook at the beginning and the end that takes you to and from the start.
Right.
So I did the one lap, got the feel of it, found my place in the pack. Always muddy in the woods, isn't it?
It is muddy, yeah.
Of course, and. Then I got into the second lap, and psychologically I was telling myself the two useful things. One, if you're doing a three-lap race, middle lap's the hardest one.
Yeah.
Because that's one where you're not at the end, but you've already done a bunch of running, right?
Yeah.
But at Victoria Park 10K, the middle lap is also the shortest one.
Right.
Because it's the only one that hasn't got the connecting straight to the
start.
And then coming in... There's a good dog leg, isn't there? About a kilometre from the end of the lap.
Yeah.
So you get to turn around there.
And have a look.
And come at it. Get a bit of pace going. I think I did speed up a little bit in that last kilometre or so. Certainly did a proper sprint finish. Again, not pulling much speed together.
Right.
But doing more than just getting over the line, you know. Felt really good.
Good,
felt like
good.
I ran it really well.
Yeah.
But I knew it wasn't that fast.
You just felt it, sort of
just,
thing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It was, it was a respectable time. But it was 43.05.
Yeah.
My PB is 41.59.
Well, that's what...
Last time I did it, it was 42.20.
That's fine.
Yes.
Yeah, so that's actually fine.
Maybe you want to go back again and do it fast.
Whoop!
And it's that's basically... God, it's good here, isn't it?
Yeah, it's
in
wet.
The sunny, muddy woods.
Yeah, it's wet.
You know, when I did it, when I did the run and got to the finish line, I thought, yeah, 43.05, that's absolutely fine. I ran that really well.
Yeah.
Can't expect it to be any faster than that. But then as the weekend wore on, my thighs are all aching in a really even, well-used way.
Yeah.
Just get me in my soul a little bit, you know?
Yeah, it's
so
just...
So what's the point of that if it's slower than when you do before? Ooba-dooba-doo.
It's just training, isn't it? Yeah. It's all training, you know?
It's a bit tiring in the soul sometimes.
Yeah. Yeah, it's sort of... Don't worry too much about that.
So, yeah, saw Baz.
Oh,
he's getting back on it.
Old Bazza.
And he wanted to go sub 45.
Right, and did he?
He did 43 something.
Oh, that's good.
So he was really pleased.
Yeah.
So he was doing, slightly the opposite of positive visualisation, in that I thought, because he's a player.
Yeah.
I thought, I bet he's got a bit more in his tank than that, you know?
Yes. He tends to.
Yeah.
Yeah. He tends to understate his abilities at the time, doesn't he?
Yeah, that's right. Which obviously works for him.
Yeah. So. But it's good to just have a run out and treat it as training, and whilst knowing that you're tired, and you know, I mean, it's to say you're only a minute off your PB, I think that's fine.
It's not too bad, is it?
I don't think it's bad at all.
Just saying it out loud makes you realise how unnecessary and miserable. But sometimes you just feel like that, don't you?
Yeah. Yeah, maybe sometimes in the middle of training It does feel a bit of a grind.
Yeah.
And you don't get the results you think you're going
to
get.
You don't realise that you're expecting it to make you feel great.
Yeah.
Because of course it wasn't going to make you feel great. You're pushing into developing strength and muscles that you haven't currently got.
Yes, yeah.
Why would that make you feel great?
And also you're not... Your legs just aren't fresh.
Yeah.
They're just not fresh.
They don't get a chance to fully recover.
Yeah.
That's
no,
right.
They don't.
We're doing all right in this mud, by the way.
We are doing okay in this
mud. Take care on the next. Let's get to the muddiest, most difficult bit. We've stayed up so far.
Yeah, it's claggy, isn't it, as people say.
Yes, take it easy. This is the last bad stretch.
Yeah.
For a bit.
Yeah, it's just...
It's just amazing just talking to you. I just suddenly realised how... I mean, don't get me wrong, I'm not making light of my own... You know, I've been feeling really low.
Right.
It just makes you realise how you can kind of turn anything into that, really. It's body chemistry, isn't it?
Yeah.
And then, you know, whether it's the wind or, I don't know, whatever, you can turn it all into a thing like that.
So how many miles did you do last week, then?
Well, over 40.
Yeah. And that's high, isn't it, for you? I mean,
that's right.
It's high for me. I haven't done that for a while, but it's high for you, isn't it?
First time this year, that's right.
Right.
And I'm slightly upping the upping because of taking that week off when I didn't want to.
Yeah.
And also, got another blooming cold.
Right.
My son's off school today.
Right.
Third cold of the winter.
Yeah.
Which is really tiresome. These kids have got to learn to wash their hands.
Yeah, it's... yeah, this is good. This is fun.
We'll just walk through here.
Yeah.
I'm going to step across to there, hope for the best.
Whee!
Yeah, it's slippery
through.
When you get there. I didn't go down, but
straight
I was,
through.
I was right to be worried. Okay, here we go. We're up, we're out. So yeah, and I'm thinking this week, today is important because I'm going to run on back from this and get the miles, do my longest run this year.
Well,
I'm going to include Bramley in this week's mileage, which is Sunday, so it's cheap.
Well, it will
slightly.
Be. Well, no, but I mean...
It's a good idea.
If you started Monday, I mean, is this is the start of the week's mileage, isn't it, for you?
Yeah, that's right. So Sunday is included, but
right,
my app doesn't allow for that.
Right, okay, cool.
My app resets on Saturday night.
Right, okay.
But that's true, it'll be in a seven-day period.
Yeah, so, I mean, I'm seeing it... So 7 days. So it's going to be tricky to... I mean, we're going to do 10 today. You'll do about 15.
Yes.
You've already got a 35-mile week right there.
That's right. So then I just decided to take some time, really. I might go out on Wednesday and do, like, 7. But then that's a day off tomorrow and 3 days off at the end of the week.
Right.
It's a nice way to combine high mileage with a bit of...
Yeah, I mean...
These poor aching legs. My legs hurt. My toes, backs of my thighs, my knees, my left heel. You know, just aware of it all night in bed over the weekend. It's
right.
A lot of it's because I really gave it some of the 10K. So
yeah.
It's to be celebrated. Or to be self-pitied. You can go either way.
Or both, depending on who you're with in chat. I mean, I think I'm going to try and do 3 or 4 tens. And then take Friday, Saturday off, and then
you're going to try and hit 50. This
go for a 60. Just go for a big old week.
Next week, or this week.
Just,
Bramley.
This week, including Bramley.
Yeah.
Just to feel a little boost. Because I start my weeks from Monday, really.
Yeah.
I always go Monday to Sunday. But the Bramley's going to be really hard work. There's no getting around it because it will be the longest. Because I missed yesterday with a storm and fatigue.
Yeah.
It's going to be the longest run I've done by a distance.
Yeah, you did 14,
this year.
But that's a couple of weeks ago.
I did 14 a couple of weeks ago.
It's 14.
And it's longer than 14, isn't it?
That's right.
Yeah.
It's nearly half as much again.
Yeah, so I don't quite know what I'm after for that Bramley 20.
I think the thing about it is, you know, we could go out there and just try and get to 20 through by the easiest route possible, i.e. Chill and chat and record it.
Yeah.
But I think the very fact that we're in an event
means
hopefully we've got the good sense to not break our legs over it. But if we go and don't record and let the pack guide us, then it will be to some extent the tempo run.
Yeah, totally.
We're not going to get, you know, it's not going to make us think, yay!
No,
we
no.
We get PBs in this next marathon.
No, but it's...
It will build our strength.
It's going to help our training, isn't it? I'm hoping for somewhere around 2.5 hours.
Yeah.
Kind of like 7:30 miles, or maybe fractionally faster, keep it going for as long as possible.
Yeah.
Whilst knowing that I probably will really tire in the last few miles, you know.
Yeah. It's the ones that you haven't done yet.
Yeah. It's going to be running right to the brink of the wall, isn't it, at our current state of fitness.
That's right. Absolutely.
But it'll be good for that, you know.
And then, you know, I think that'll probably be fine. Probably feel quite good myself. We'll probably come next Monday or Tuesday. I wonder...
You'll be a bit tired.
Why I bother with anything.
Well, you'll be a bit tired, yeah.
Maybe not. Maybe the nice thing about this weather and that, I mean, it's a storm and so on, but it's equinoctial, isn't it? This storm is the battle between winter and spring.
Yes, yeah.
And spring will ultimately win.
Yeah, it kind of... Because spring had been coming forth, hadn't it?
Yeah.
Spring had been sort of winning a little bit, so...
Yeah, that's right. We've seen snowdrops and crocuses and some sunshine. And
I'm sure this will have been shut yesterday, actually. They tend to shut Highgate Woods when it's stormy.
Well, we had to climb over the gate just then, didn't we, Ant?
Oh, yeah.
Through that electric fence.
Yeah. Maybe we done well to get in. It's quite... I just feel quite wild today.
Another person who had a good weekend's running was a friend of the show, though she hasn't yet been on it, Eleanor Tiernan.
All right,
I saw her last week. I was beginning with this weekend, but we were talking last week, and she, you know, we've been hoping to interview her about being a new park runner.
Yeah.
I think we're kind of missing the bus there, because she missed the park run the other day, because she was doing a training plan to work towards getting under... 25 minutes for 5K.
Oh, nice.
And
okay.
Then she went and did park run and did, I don't know, 24:20 or something.
Good for her.
Is that how well? I need a new shoe.
She's doing really well, yeah.
Smashing it.
Yeah, she's a very funny comic. We're going to be chatting to her about mid-March. We got one in with, haven't we?
Yeah, hopefully.
Yeah.
That's the next time we're all around in London to be at a park run. So... As I said, we were going to ask her, well, hey, new park runner, what's it like? And the moment's passed now.
Yeah.
We won't be able to be nearly that patronising. It's a shame.
Do you think that's part of the slight fougue with you, maybe? That I think it's fine to explore that idea of improvement and trajectory and what it is and where you're at. And do you know what I mean? That sort of sense of... It's going to be harder to be as fast as you were, or...
Well...
Are you dealing with that as well? Or do you think it's a bit of your dad and stuff as well, and just lingering winter stuff, you know?
I think two different things. I don't feel like my body's falling apart. It's more a question of... Or ageing or whatever, you know?
Right.
It's more a question of realising that distance training isn't necessarily what I want day to day from running.
Yeah.
Which
is a bit...
Because I want to be fast and strong. I don't want to be achy and slow.
Yes, totally.
So, yeah, I mean, missing parkrun at the weekend, it irritated me.
Right.
Because I've really developed a habit of going whenever I can.
Yeah.
So
and also it takes less out of your parkrun.
Yeah.
Whilst also telling you that you've had a race.
Yeah, exactly.
That's a great thing. That's a perfect thing about the distance. I think it's interesting what you say, because I think I'm a little bit different. I quite like running slow for a long time, and I quite like that feeling of feeling really tired afterwards.
Yeah.
I find it very relaxing.
But I don't think, apart from anything else, I don't think your body complains in the same way.
No.
Do you know what I mean?
It's what you're saying, yeah.
And like Gavin the other day, I was just realising that this, you know, I'm basically, it's not very bad, but the serious running means I'm living with pain. You know
what I
mean?
Yeah. That is.
And getting in that chair's going, ugh.
No, that is tough. I mean, yeah, that's... Because I think a lot of people get it to varying or lesser degrees as I get older, runners. I mean, I have back pain, but I don't think I have this kind of steady foot, knee, hip stuff that you get.
Yeah.
And that must be wearing.
I really mean this in a non-complainy, this is just the way it is way. I'm heavy.
Right.
You know, I'm a big bloke.
You're naturally...
This is me at my fittest
and
lightest.
Yeah.
And it's still, you know, it's a big unit on the top of a brace of skinny legs.
Right.
And that's just the system I'm working with. I've got to get a picture of these fantastic
snowdrops.
Oh, that's
awesome.
In the
awesome,
sunshine.
Isn't it?
Look at these.
This is beautiful
what
today.
What were you just saying about spring winning?
Yeah.
That's gorgeous, isn't it? Oh, wow. Yeah, got it. Yeah, and then, and also, it's that classic thing, I think it's when it comes down to it. Well, that's a real challenge. The little ditch we jump across there is actually full of water.
Yeah.
It's a little bit tough mudder, isn't it?
Mm.
Yeah, everything you do, you embrace in training. When it comes to fruition, you see what it really means, and it becomes, it all goes in the river and becomes part of the ebb and flow. Like, I've really lent into the wind of the park runs for a year.
Yeah.
And now my attitude to them has changed to the point where I do sulk when I can't go.
Right.
And I get a bit, I'm much closer to that. You know, we know that other people do them and they're like, if they don't get to do one, they're like, damn, I missed the park run. It's like, yeah, but you did a half marathon that day.
Yes.
And but I see it now.
Right.
Because I would genuinely, if I wasn't the achy bottom half of the bodied person we were just talking about, I really would consider doing a park run next Saturday before Bramley on the Sunday.
Yeah.
That would work for me. I get
well,
it.
To be honest, it almost would in terms of just training anyway. I mean, for me, because I'm after a high mileage week, it will make sense. But for a basic week, it wouldn't be absurd.
No.
And it would place Bramley in context for what it is, which is a long training run.
Yes.
That's all it is.
No, and equally, you know, but part of it is I'd be scared to go flat out on parkrun.
Yeah.
And I wouldn't want to.
So you won't get the best
of parkrun and not go flat.
Yeah, so you won't get the best of both worlds.
Yeah,
exactly. Because really, I find when I'm training for a marathon, it's not even how many miles I do, it's for how long I'm running.
Yeah.
So if I go for like a 3-hour run and it's slow and I only do like 17 miles or something, that's sort of okay because it's still, you're still running for 3 hours.
Yeah, it's time on your feet.
Yeah.
And that really ties in, you know.
It's training the machine, isn't it, to just run and run and run.
Yeah, and really something that we've talked about before that we need to open up again as marathon season comes on. If you're a listener who doesn't make the kind of times we make, it doesn't matter, you know.
Oh, of course.
The marathon thing is about how much like you say, how much time you spend running, how much time you spend on your feet. And if you train to be as fit as possible for where you're at, and you're aiming for a 5.5-hour marathon, and you go out and get it.
Yes.
So much respect.
Of course, yeah.
I don't think I could run for 5.5 hours.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. It's amazing. It's an incredible thing to do, yeah.
In any context, that's what's why I'm scared of the whole potential ultra thing.
Ultra thing, yeah. Straight through. It is nice today.
So yeah, now you've got me thinking maybe I will do the park.
I don't think it would be absurd because then you just set off slow at Bramley.
Yeah.
And just reframe it a little bit.
Yeah, yeah.
Because we're not ready to go out for 20 miles.
No, and the other thing to do at Bramley, if we do take it slow, is in terms of not speed but consistency, is to look at, because it's a two-lapper, right?
Right, okay.
So you go off really easy and steady and just try and
negative split it, maybe.
Negative split and try and kind of do the second lap at the same speed or a tiny bit faster.
Yeah.
I mean, if that's going to happen, if we're not going to fade, we have to go off gentle.
Yes, yeah.
Okay, I think we're looking at a plan here.
There could be a bit of a plan. There's a plan developing.
Did you see Sophie Rowworth in the paper?
I saw that she's running for the UK over half marathon,
isn't
which is incredible,
fantastic.
Isn't it?
Yeah.
At the age of 51, that's great. She's done so well.
You know, she's she just gets better and better.
Yes, she does. Yeah.
And it's funny also because the one she's running is the Fleet half marathon.
Right.
Which is funny because it's Fleet, means fast.
Yeah.
But also, I was talking to a comedian the other day. I did a gig in Fleet.
Right.
The day before.
Yeah.
Fleet half marathon a few years ago. When I was first getting into it, so I was quite excited. I said to the audience, who's doing a half marathon tomorrow? Of course, none of them.
Yeah.
They did not care.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Because the people who were doing a half marathon had gone to bed.
Yes. Yeah.
Of course. That was a lesson learned.
No, she's done... she's doing really well. I mean, we know that she's... how keen she is.
Yeah. But it's also so strong.
Yes.
You know, we've been trying for ages to get her to bring back Susie and Sophie to the show, but now she's doing that, we're going to have to get in on either see her for a training run or see her just after.
Yeah.
And get Susie out too. And catch up with
them. I'm sure it'll happen shortly.
Catching up with them, they're doing amazing things.
Yes, they are.
As we go, I didn't go out yesterday.
It's funny though, you're talking about falling apart a little bit and, you know, struggling a little bit. I was chatting to Vassos. We'll do another lap and then go Musworth. Then that'll make about 10. And he was saying he'd run a marathon. He'd been to Rotterdam or something, or run a marathon recently, and he was wearing Vaporflies, and he was hoping that would give him 4%. So he was thinking maybe he'd do, you know, Vassos's best is like 2:56. He was thinking maybe I'd get a 2:48 out of it. Maybe I'd. And he said he hit the wall at 10K and did 3 hours 12.
Right.
Which for Vassos is, you know, it's a bit of an eye-opener.
That's a complete...
And he's just like... I'm getting
dealt an entirely different hand on the
day. And he's feeling it. He's crested that initial trajectory of... Yeah. I can run and run and run and run and run, and which he did, and he yomped, didn't he? He tore it up, didn't he?
Oh, incredible.
Ultras, marathons.
Huge distances.
A real thirst
and
for...
Right, again, it's just...
Yes, of course.
It's just not as linear.
A real thirst for running and a real... Just real sort of the essence of his being is to run. You can see that in him. But he's gonna have to recalibrate a little bit.
It all brings me back to Gavin, the way he said, I don't really have a training plan.
Yeah.
Because he totally does, but it's just so elastic.
Yeah.
And that's the way it has to be.
Yes,
when it comes down to it. And this is true of all people who work towards getting, I don't know, sporting endeavour, athletic endeavour.
Yeah.
And specifically trying to do your best on a given day.
Yeah.
You know, trying to win a tennis match or run a fast park run or a fast marathon or, quick, give me another sport. In the boat ropes.
Football, table tennis.
Have a huge...
Boxing, yeah.
Yeah.
Cage fighting.
Some kind of whist jive. Anyway, you know, life has these kind of... ebbing and flowing rhythms.
Yeah.
You know, this weekend, it's easy for me because I can say, well, of course I was tired because I ran a long way last week. There's much more to it than that.
Yeah.
It was just one of those weekends.
Yeah.
Like the weekend I went to Berlin. And the thing is, you can still do it. You still get the muscles out and attend the event and do the thing. But... it's just not... the planets are out of whack.
Yeah, sometimes...
You know, you're fighting it all the way. I'm sure you can still win in that scenario. I mean, win against yourself. But it's just... you can't legislate for the great ebb and flow of existence.
Yeah, it's just one of those days, isn't it? You get them, yeah. But it was... I'll tell you what, Chris Evans...
Yeah.
He's really into his running.
Yeah.
He was like... you can just tell he's like, he runs to and from work. He's just obsessed with it. You know, he's listening to ultra running podcasts.
Yep.
He's really off on a kind of spiritual tip with it all, you know. Just running slowly and...
So is he going to come out for a run with us?
Let's
look into that.
We'll look into it. I think it might be a bit of a leap.
Yeah, I know. But that would be silly if he...
Because he's so big, yeah. Yeah, but it'd be... he'd read... the book to the extent he knew exactly how much I'd written about him. So, because there's a couple of lines of him in the first chapter.
Right.
And he knew that. He knew those, yeah. And he knew I'd written more about Vassos. which is the kind of book it is.
Yeah.
Look at this little kid here. Look at him.
That's good. When we first hit Highgate Woods, it did feel a bit post-apocalyptic, wouldn't it? It was twigs on the ground and no one about. But the sun's out now and there's...
He's filling up,
dog
isn't
walkers
it?
And little kids and other runners.
Yeah, it's filling up nicely, good. Yeah. Yeah, and I really enjoyed gigging in Manchester over the weekend. Just really nice. The Comedy Store was really busy.
Yeah, lovely.
Just good fun, really playable, you know.
Who else was on?
Really nice. Adam Rowe, Jojo Sutherland, Jimmy McGee and Chris MacArthur Boyd. So a nice little varied mix.
Yep.
It was nice. I was the first sort of proper old bloke to get on, you know, at the end, which was really, it was quite nice. I had a bit of seniority.
Yeah, certain grey head, sooty freshness.
Yeah, certain gravitas.
Oh, did you? No, you wouldn't have worn a suit, you'd have been in velour.
No, I'm not wearing a suit now. I'm just chilling.
Isn't it funny? Let's talk about that a minute, because I don't know about you. Well, I do know about you. I find that every now and again, you have to change up what you wear.
Right.
To slightly change how you feel on stage.
Yes, yeah.
And it basically is a shift between smart and not smart.
Yes.
And one's personal take on that.
Yes, yeah. I just wanted to just feel... I was aware that sometimes the suit felt a bit extra for some of the environments I was in.
Felt like someone else's idea.
Yeah, just felt a bit...
For the audience as well.
Yeah, just felt a bit too smart.
Yeah.
And sometimes some of the places we play, they're a bit all over, aren't they?
Yeah.
They're not necessarily sort of suity environments.
No, it can be a bit more Black of Grove than
yeah,
that.
Like, what's he doing wearing a suit? So I just decided not to. And I felt, if anything, it makes me feel too relaxed almost.
Yeah.
But that's a good feeling to have on
Absolutely.
Stage. And I'm really enjoying it. And I'm not trying to add, I hope to be down with the kids with it. It's just what I wear anyway.
Yeah, no, it's
there's
very
no
you.
There's no badges on.
No, that's the other
there's
aspect.
No patches or ripped jeans going on.
You've got to dress up as yourself, haven't you? That's the other thing. Well, actually, it's a little, what's the word? It's what we have to do in microcosm. You've got to take something really personal and inspired by yourself, but find a version of it that is accessible and ultimately familiar to the audience so they can share it with you.
Yeah. You don't want to wear something that makes them freak out. What's he wearing?
Bow tie?
Yeah.
I used to wear a shirt for a little while there when I first lost weight.
Yeah.
I wore a shirt and tie to all my gigs.
Right.
I just can't imagine it now.
Yeah.
I hate wearing a shirt.
A tie feels too formal, doesn't it?
Yeah. I mean, it was soft, you know. There were nice soft shirts and wool ties and with kind of... It was... So just saying the word shirt and tie doesn't give the right impression, you know.
Right.
But it was... But it was a time.
Yeah. Yeah.
And actually, these days I wear a suit, but it's very soft, and I wear it with trainers and t-shirts.
Right.
As long as I look like I could climb a tree at any moment, I'm happy.
Yeah. It is nice that we can go to work in trainers if we want to.
Yeah.
It is nice.
Well, I have to, because my feet hurt so much.
Yeah.
Did you read the article in the paper at the weekend about vaporflies?
I didn't know, but there's been a lot of drama about it, hasn't it?
Well, they've got a new upgrade, like they needed one.
Right.
And we're going past those snowdrops again. Still gorgeous.
Is that the alpha fly, is it, they've got, or something?
I think
or?
It's called the Next. And
right.
And then there's a diacritic symbol of some kind.
Right.
And it was a good article, because the woman who wrote it is a, you know, sort of regular park runner.
Right.
She didn't diss herself, but she's like, I'm your runner. I go for a run on a Saturday, you know?
Right.
And she... sort of joking about how good they're supposed to be, but how could I possibly get 4% improvement, you know?
Yeah.
And then put them on and went out and did a park run and did it a minute faster than she ever had before.
Ooh.
Around, and this was sort of like, you know, she's generally running around 28, PB around 27.
Really?
Went out and did 26.
Right.
So she's like, it works.
Right.
So her conclusion was, one, why did I not think it would work? They said it would work and it did.
Yeah, yeah.
And two, she kind of felt like she couldn't really claim it as a victory.
Right.
Because it did feel a bit like, what's a less freighted word than cheating? It felt like getting an advantage, you know?
Yes, yeah. A lot of people are talking about it. A lot of club runners are, and the ones who are embracing it and buying them are the ones who are a bit more of a laugh.
Yeah.
Who just sort of...
Go on then.
Who just want to just have... Just why not? I tend to fall into that. I understand the thing of, like, it's an unfair advantage.
Yeah.
But trainers have been getting better for years and years.
Yeah, and ultimately they're trainers, aren't they? They're outside your body.
Yeah.
So it
has
to be... I don't know.
It's not comparable to doing a drug.
Yeah.
What I don't like about it...
But it is a bit comparable to wearing big springs like Zebedee.
Yes, yeah. What I don't like about it is... It's the pricing people out.
Yeah, right.
That's what I don't like about it.
So you think they should be made available to all runners who want them?
Yes, yeah, at cheap rates.
Well, just for free.
Yeah, just given out.
Give it out at Parkrun.
But if I've got some bit of disposable sloshing back and I'm feeling pretty fit, I'll get them just for a laugh because I only live once.
Yeah.
I just quite like the idea of running as
fast as I can. I know you want them.
Running as fast
as
I can.
I know you want them. It's just taking you 6 months to get,
no, it's
to
a question,
get your head around the expense.
It's a question of when my fitness justifies them, you know.
And for an event.
Yeah.
I mean, that's the other thing is they say they don't, and this ties in with the expenses.
They don't last long. No. Because I old...
Because you run so fast, they kind of fall apart off your legs, like Forrest Gump caliper.
Yeah. I mean, old Chris Adam. Because I was chatting about them on the radio. Oh, Chris Evans had them. He's obviously rich enough to wear them to train all the time.
Yeah,
you know,
yeah,
so
yeah.
He just wears them, you know. But for most of us, it's a special event shoe, isn't it?
Yeah, that's right.
Sorry, we got a bit split up while I went through the middle. I went through the middle of the bog.
I avoided the mud.
Where do you stand on them, Rob? What do you reckon?
No, I don't stand on them. I tuck my foot inside.
All right,
and
okay.
And then tie the laces up.
That's where I've been going wrong.
Well, they're absolutely... They're hugely outside my budget.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I mean, I find it difficult to conceive of... Where did she get in front of us?
She went a different route. She went a different route.
Shorter route. Damn it. not that it matters. I find it amazing. Not amazing, but I can't really conceive of having more than one pair of running shoes at a time.
Yeah.
You know, so the idea of having muddy ones or track ones or...
Yes, right. Yeah, 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 yeah.
I tend to wear a pair until they... I'm not bad. I suppose I get a new pair every year.
Right.
I try not to do too many marathons.
Occasionally you get given a pair, though, don't you?
Yeah, but I've literally never been given a pair that worked for me.
Right.
Because...
Well, that's a shame.
The brand that worked for me have never given us a pair.
Right, okay.
And my feet are fussy.
Yeah, 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 yeah.
I've been given great shoes that I love.
Right.
But they don't... They just hurt my feet after a while.
Yeah.
So, yeah, so it's always an expense. And I messed up once and spent full money on a really nice pair of Brooks.
Right.
Too small, I had to give them to my son.
Right.
But basically, every now and again I think, no, wait a minute, these aren't as good as they used to be. And I'll get a new pair for a marathon. But if I got a pair of Vaporflies...
Mate, I'm going to have to go down there.
If I got a new pair of Vaporflies for this next marathon...
Yeah.
One, I'd be going £250 over budget.
Yes. How much are they? I don't even know how much they are.
I thought they're about £250, aren't they?
That's crazy, isn't it?
And two...
That's crazy.
I would have to wear them for every run for the next 8-9 months.
Yeah.
I saw a pair.
Right.
I saw my first pair at the 10K on... Saturday.
Right.
Because, of course, they got that weird taper at the back.
Yes, yeah.
So, oh, look at those.
Yeah.
And then I saw what was written on the side. I thought, oh, no, they're not Vaporflies. But they were.
Right.
They just don't say Vaporfly on the side. These were the brand new ones. They were like Next Plus or whatever they're called.
It's weird. There's almost like a sort of... Is there a vague embarrassment in wearing them? I don't know. There's something going on. It's quite a fascinating
Certainly.
Time, isn't there?
Well, you know? It's British as well to go, I don't know about that. Because, you know, I don't think anyone else around the world would care that they look silly.
Yeah.
But they do look quite silly.
But it's
people are going to notice.
It's also saying...
Ostentatious runners.
Also, the best thing about running, one of the best things, has always been like... It's not... Well, I mean, for me, definitely...
It's not
about the gear.
No, that's
it's
right.
not about the gear.
Yeah, but you can go too far the other way, can't you? I mean, I always thought that I'm the same, but it led to when I first ran by avoiding appropriate clothes.
Yeah,
I was wearing ridiculous clothes.
Yeah,
you know because. But like you said, and it does think these things shift.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
What
yeah.
you wear for running is a fashion, and it changes.
Yeah.
But in the end, you can be wearing what you felt was completely neutral and non-statement, and has become ridiculous, you know.
Yeah.
I don't wear tight lycra shorts anymore.
Yeah.
Because I feel like I'd be the only one.
Right.
And so everyone would be going,
"Oh, that's kind of shifted."
All
yeah,
right,
yeah,
Rob,
yeah.
I can see that shifting.
Yeah.
yeah, yeah. I can see you were going at quite a lick there. Cold today, isn't it? And
yeah.
Things like this.
yeah. Various comments you could do without. But no, for me, that's just decent trainers and shorts and a t-shirt and you're away, you know. But it's also, part of the thing of the expense of it. You know, that £35-40 for a 10k phenomena.
Yeah.
It's just too much money.
Yeah, that's right.
It's just too much.
It shouldn't cost money, should it?
It shouldn't cost that much money.
It's not just money as well. It's a basic principle of access. Like, I always regret that I'm a comedian that uses a guitar and pedals.
Right.
Because I love the idea that you could say to me now, do a comedy gig.
Yes, yeah.
Just do it. It's just you.
Yeah.
You know?
Normally, being a little extra might be a bit much, but not when it comes to healthcare. That's why United Healthcare's Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, supplement your primary plan so you manage out-of-pocket costs. Learn more at uh1.com.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot. We charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Yeah, that's one of the best things about, maybe the absolutely best thing about the parkrun, is that it's free.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? Do you know what I mean? If it costs you like a fiver every week, it just become part of your sort of weekly budget. It'd start to smart a little bit, wouldn't
yeah,
it?
But and
because
it's
free.
And also, yeah, even if like saving it was a fiver, it's a different principle. It's a basic. It's the principle of the thing.
Yes. Yeah. I mean, obviously. Races can't be free. Races need, but anything over.
No, and that run through was good value, and they set up a lovely race. It's just a different thing.
Yeah, yeah. But it adds to, you know, some people you spent 250 on some trainers. It's 40 quid to do the race. It's like it's quite an expensive endeavour, isn't it?
I've got to
tell
you.
If you do it like that.
When we started running just then, you know, I was feeling fine. We just took a little stop there.
Yeah.
And. Honestly, it just as we the first five steps, I felt like I weighed about 8 tons.
Right.
Let's just get this thing.
Get it moving again.
I've noticed something about parkrun. It's just a little thing.
Right.
Has been established. I was a bit grumpy this weekend, anyway. But I think language-wise, parkrun might be a little bit a victim of their own success because, of course, the thing is huge.
Right.
You know, someone was saying the other day they were at a parkrun. There's 1,000 people there. You know. And we know you go to a parkrun.
Incredible, isn't it?
We're talking about going to the parkrun, right?
Let's just run.
But now it's become a phrase.
Yeah.
And I noticed the advertisers say you might use it for the parkrun, and
right.
They mean run around the park.
Right.
So that's not the same thing.
Yeah.
The parkrun is a parkrun.
Yeah.
It's a thing.
Yes. Yeah. It's an event. Yeah.
But now it's been co-opted because it's gone into language.
Yes.
It's been co-opted.
The lexicon. Yeah.
It's losing its meaning a little bit, which is. Oh, that's a judge at the wall. I don't know why it matters, but it does.
And was it busy at the Victoria Park 10K then, was it?
Lots of people there, yeah.
Was it people doing half marathons as well?
Yeah. Right. I spoke to a nice guy, actually. I got there. The half marathon starts half an hour before.
Right.
So I got there exactly as it started.
Yeah.
And I love that balance of the run through in Victoria Park that you've got there. It is the kind of running event that, you know, completely predates parkrun.
Right.
You know, it's basically like in any amateur sport, you know, it's like a judo grading.
Right.
They set it up so you can go there, get your time, so you did the thing, you know.
Yeah.
And that's excellent. But because it's in Hackney, you get all kinds of people. And
yes, you do. Yeah.
You know, I was walking up just as the half marathon set off, and there's a guy doing it barefoot.
Yes. Yeah. You'll get a bit of that. Yeah.
So that's a good scene.
Yeah.
And the commentary and stuff is really nice. It's really
hey, yeah.
convivial.
Do we know
who's that?
Do we know her?
Did I say who's that too soon?
You must know her.
Damn it, she's listening now. Hi, good to see you.
Hi, you two.
Yeah, she's someone we know, Paul. So
yes.
Come back and ask.
Yeah.
Steve, cut this bit out.
Yeah, yeah, definitely. Yeah. Yeah. She seemed really nice. I mean.
Yeah, sorry. Lovely to see you.
Yeah, 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 yeah.
And hello to you.
Yeah, so the. Oh, way up.
So, yeah, so the half marathon goes off at 9:30. The 5K goes off at 10.
Right.
And the 10K goes off at 10:05.
Yeah.
And what's nice about that as well is you set off with your distance.
Yeah.
Then you start to kind of shake down. But then you join the laps and you blend. So it just slightly beds down the sense of it being... You know, you're not necessarily next to people who are on the same endeavour as you.
Yeah, and that's so quite nice.
Quite as competitive.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And it means there's constantly people in front of you to aim at as well.
Yeah. And conversely,
who are sort of slowing down a little bit because you get the slower 5K runs or whatever it is.
Yeah,
you know?
That's right.
Yeah, it's nice.
But you know, you spot, there's not that many people there, so you can spot people you set off with.
Yes, yeah.
So, you know.
Yeah.
I noticed the... negative splitters coming past me.
Right, yeah.
I was like, oh, what's happening? Why am I going so slow? Oh, they're just going faster.
Yeah.
And that's fair enough. Still, it's hard for me to get my head around that.
Yeah.
You know, just once I'm out running, I know I'm wrong really, but I just think if you can go that much faster now, you should have been going faster before.
Yeah, I mean.
Which isn't true, that isn't the way to think about it, but my runner always thinks that way.
Yeah.
It's really hard to reset that.
Did you get any... have you had a look at the Oscars?
No, I've been trying to avoid it.
All right, okay.
Although I think I've heard some of it, so... But I taped it, we're going to watch it.
All right, okay.
In nearly real time tonight.
Right.
Because the kids are really into it.
Oh, good, oh, nice. Yeah.
Nice. No, stop.
No.
No, boss, but...
No, we'll keep... Yep. We'll keep don't away from that.
I was going to say, I'd tell you something else about the run through. Oh, yeah, I was talking to a guy there who has done the half there before.
Right.
And he said that was mind-numbing.
Because you're just lapping.
Seven laps.
Yeah, that's hard work.
That is tough.
Yeah, I won't fancy that, I must say.
I think if you choose it, it's a way to do it, you know.
Right.
But it wouldn't be for me.
Yeah. It's interesting that woman getting faster... on the park run at that pace, though, because I've heard a lot of people say it's only the faster runners who really benefit from the Zumi trainers, but obviously not.
Yeah.
I thought they're for, like, 4 foot strike fasties, you know.
Yeah, no.
But it obviously isn't, which makes them even more seductive.
Yeah.
They really can just make you faster.
Yeah, they do. Oh, that's right.
Yeah.
But like you say, it's like she said, why didn't I believe it? But when I discussed it,
it sounds too good to be true.
The other reason I wouldn't get any is because I would not expect to get any faster.
Right. Yeah.
I'd be pleasantly surprised.
Well, it's
surprised.
Well, it sounds like if you had them for the weekend, even though you're feeling a bit leggy, you'd have got a PB.
Yeah.
That's what it means. Yeah. So basically, it's sort of like...
And then how do you feel about it?
They're sort of like antidepressants, aren't they?
Yeah.
They could make you feel better.
Yeah.
Because your time, for whatever reason, made you feel a little bit blue on Sunday.
Yeah.
Wonder if you'd have been a minute and 10 seconds faster.
But also, it's like, you know, I should have just run it faster, shouldn't I?
Yeah, just run faster.
Run it faster.
That's always the option, isn't it?
Yeah.
Just move your legs faster so you get there quicker.
Right. I always forget
Let's
to do
start.
That.
We need to really start that training workshop, don't we? Push people to the next level.
It's going to be quite a short workshop.
Come on, everyone. Jog on the spot. Now, faster. Ahead. Faster. Jog faster.
Yeah. You know, see how fast you're going now.
Yeah. Just do that faster, yeah, but do it when you're running forward.
See you next week.
Good luck. Good luck with it. Eat less.
Sunshine,
run more. Train more. Run faster.
But I think it's a funny thing with the 10K thing is that I still think there's an element of it. Isn't it amazing?
Yeah, that was gorgeous.
Theoretically, at least, low-hanging fruit there because I just haven't done that many 10Ks.
Yeah, that's not... Yeah.
And although I was super fit when I got my 10K PB compared to now, It wasn't an easy one.
Right.
And I didn't do a lot. So I doubt at that time, when I say I didn't do a lot, I mean I didn't do many.
Do many 10Ks, yeah.
Compare it with, yeah. So if I'm saying, I think I work on the assumption that at that point I could have done it faster.
Yes.
Whereas now all I've got to do is match it.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So, but I think in the long game, it's good to have that. I mean, like we were saying before, a good parkrun for me at the moment is sort of 20 and a half minutes, 20, 25.
Yeah.
But I don't think... I'd put a pound on me getting under 20 again at some point.
Yeah.
I don't think that's gone forever. I think also, I just immediately thought, you know, it all ties in with me sulking a bit about having to do these marathons.
Right.
I just thought, get the marathons out of the way, start drinking again, get another 10K booked in.
Yeah.
Do that one really fast. You know, on a nice restful week and a hangover.
Yes, yeah. It's easy to forget how strong marathon training is making you when you're in the middle of it, because you are just tired a lot of the time, you know.
Yeah.
Well, and you're not drinking at all still.
No.
You're doing really well, mate.
Yeah.
You need to big yourself up about that.
But again, it's that thing of it in real, you know, on paper, yeah, that's great. And in practice, it's been weeks.
Yeah.
So I can't tell the difference anymore.
Right.
I just feel tired.
You're just in it. You do feel tired and sober.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
See the miseries in my life in clear detail.
Yeah. I'll talk about miseries. Old Billie Jean had a tail lopped off on Friday because her tail got
damaged.
Just a little bit separated and damaged when she got run over by the car.
Oh, no.
And so it's been sort of, it's a real sadness because it used to be just stand up straight, a real perky kind of.
Yeah. Such a joyous pooch.
Yeah, it was. And he was just sort of hanging inert and dangerous.
Yeah.
So she had to have it lopped off. It's just, she doesn't seem bothered by it, but it's just compounds the misery of what happened, you know. That was tough.
And you don't know how these miseries are going to come along either.
No.
You say about being sad about my dad. Yeah, I'm sad about my dad. Really, at the moment, I think somehow just because of time.
Yeah.
I feel like some of my defences have just fallen away a little bit. And when I think about him, I just can feel it.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? There's nowhere to hide.
Yeah.
And I think, I don't mind.
I think that's
really
good.
The reason that's happening is because I know I can handle it.
Yeah.
So if I'm going to feel sad, then it's time to feel sad.
Yes.
You know, and I get that. I approve. But it isn't any fun.
No.
And then within that, you can still surprise yourself with it, you know. On the bloomin' through the storm train ride out to this treat yesterday.
Yeah.
And my son wasn't very well, so we had to drag him out because he was cold. And we got the cards out.
Yeah.
We had a really good game of contract whist.
Right.
Superbly old school.
Yeah.
And, you know, really enjoyed that, and he loves it. And he's saying, I'm asking about slightly more advanced whist games like Hearts and Solo. And just describing how to play solo. And I just suddenly thought, I want to play solo with Dad.
Yes.
You know,
the
opportunity to play a game of the card game solo with my dad pretty much disappeared with the 20th century.
Yes. Yeah.
But for a second there, or rather a nanosecond, I thought, we could do that later today.
Yeah.
I said, no. That's never going to happen.
He triggered you away,
and it was like, and it wasn't, you know, it didn't break my heart or anything. It just made me think, you know?
Yes.
And that's like you say, you just got to...
It's the accumulation of losses, they add up, don't they?
Yeah, and you carry them all with you.
Yeah.
And again, I think that it's a bit like just pain, you know, my stupid toe, which always hurts these days. And it was fine when it healed up after... just before New York.
Yeah.
It was never really an issue then. Once it was better.
Yeah.
But since then, when I sort of bash it and stuff, it just always hurts. And for me, it just ties in my head with stamina and patience.
Right.
And lack of imagination when it comes to plugging ahead with things.
Right.
And I'm talking about everything, really, you know.
Right.
Sort of work and effort and life and training, and it's just all a question of, you do have to carry these things with you. You do have to recognise that some days you'll be less happy than others.
Yes.
And that ultimately, it doesn't, so it doesn't matter, but it will be all right, because I am the kind of person who will just, you know, I didn't at any point think I'm not going to go out today and run 15 miles.
Yes, yeah, yeah,
despite the fact that I spent all day yesterday, I'm sick of running and my legs hurt.
But it's also...
There's no conflict there for me.
No, yeah, it's also... I think one's always got to be wary of using running as something to beat yourself up with.
Absolutely.
It has to be there to... It is enjoyment. You're already fitter than 98% of the population by the fact you do any running at all.
Yeah, that's right.
So it's really important to... Just not beat yourself. Just
training, you know. Yeah. You know, it was so clear to us, you saying... You know, I think at some level you're still saying, I was going to go out yesterday and I didn't, and there's a kind of mild negative attached, but it's so clear that that was the right decision.
Yeah, well, it was for me at the time,
I was saying that a couple of weeks ago. Just like, you know, you're just really careful having any kind of plan.
Yeah.
You'll just turn around and use it against yourself.
Yeah, I've got a basic idea of running more and more to get fitter for the marathon, and I know my body, but if I've...
And my 10K is the reverse of that, because it's perfectly clear... That was all good.
Yes.
But it's my misery trying to scrabble around for something to use against me. You know what
right,
I mean?
Right.
Because that's fine.
Yeah. And also that thing of, if you've got waves of grief coming through at odd moments and stuff, you maybe, that's tiring in itself.
Yeah.
And not something to fight.
No, you have to come.
It has to come, and maybe it's the energies taken to keep it down as being part of the thing that's tired you out as well. You know.
Yeah, that's right.
Because you do, you are quite bullish. You do motor through. You do get things done. You are busy.
No, and people don't. You know, and I don't much like. I'm not very good at spending time with it, really.
Yes. Yeah.
One of the reasons, you know, I'm really quite not bad at it because we talk about it and because I'm engaged with the modern world. But at an instinctive level, I'm more of a kind of don't think about it, just press on kind of person.
Yes, yeah, I sense that as well, yeah.
I mean, I can't stand pity.
Yes.
Even my own.
Yeah.
And even when it's well meant, I don't mean, I'm not talking about being patronised.
Yeah.
I mean, I can't handle it when people are nice to me, you know what
yes,
I mean?
Yeah. Well, as I love a bit of self-pity. I'm not very good with other people's, but I can quickly wallow given half the chance. I'm aware of it. But now get a few drinks down me, I'll be wallowing if there's anything at all that needs wallowing about.
Wallow on.
Yeah.
Let's wallow. Yeah. So follow me, follow. Do you know another thing? This is a difficult one.
Yeah.
I know, let's talk about it. I want to... I really want to do some fundraising.
Right.
For Parkinson's UK, as has long been my want.
Yeah.
And specifically recently, not just down the years.
Right.
When it's been great, but actually just after Dad died.
Yeah.
Great North Run. You know, part of that process. Remember, the Great North Run was the day before Dad's funeral.
Yes.
Deep in it at that time. And the community just completely... Oh, the street's down. It's gone.
See, there we go, mate. There, that's a disaster.
That squirrel's going.
Imagine if we'd been running there yesterday.
And this tree.
When that had come down.
This tree thought spring was coming.
Absolute calamity.
Look at the blossoms on it.
Yeah.
But if you'd had your vaporflies on, you'd have been on the other side of it.
Mother Nature had other ideas.
Like in The Water Margin. Do you remember the special effects on The Water Margin?
Oh. I don't know. Oh.
On The Water Margin, which is like another... Japanese adventure program like Monkey.
Right.
And people say Monkey's Chinese, but no. Right. It was a Japanese program about Chinese mythology.
Right. Okay.
But anyway, The Water Margin had a guy in it who was as fast as the wind.
Yeah.
And the way the special effect worked is he'd just go like that and then they'd jump cut and he'd be on top of the next hill. That's what it looks like when you use vaporflies. Anyway. Yeah, the community came together and sponsored me big for the Great North Run. And it felt great. That was a lovely thing.
Yeah.
And it was very much a part of that communal moment you spend after someone dies.
Yes.
But I'm in a different phase now. You know.
Yeah.
It's me in the world doing a real life grief.
Yeah.
And I have to admit that sometimes I go to Post to do a bit of fundraising. It makes me sad.
Yes.
It reminds me of me doing it in a fairly joyous way.
Yes.
Maybe 5 years ago or whatever.
Yes.
And also, you know, really twistedly, it's only going to work well if I open up.
Yes.
And tell everyone I'm sad.
Yeah.
And then people feel sorry for me and sad about that, and then they give me money, and I'm not sure I'm a...
You're not sure you want to do that?
I'm not that comfortable with that.
Yes, I know what you're saying,
but
yeah. Yeah.
I do want to do it. And equally, another part of me thinks, I mean, thank goodness for this and everything, but fundraising is part of what makes marathons and things worthwhile.
Yeah.
And if you don't do it, you're really missing out.
It's really weird with me and fundraising, because of course I do. You know, I'll do it for Parkinson's, or I've got a relative with motor neuron disease at the moment.
Yeah.
So I try and raise money, and I enjoy it, and I'm grateful, but I just never associate running primarily with fundraising.
Yeah.
I was always, because when I started, it was just about running and racing and a quid 50 to enter and who cares sort of thing.
Yeah, yeah.
So it's just a little bit different, but...
It's because you are, and speech marks, a proper runner. Well, equally, you know, yeah, I like to go for a run of a weekday... You know, and I have ever since I started. But I do feel like events, and marathons in particular, also half marathons, my relationship with them began with fundraising.
Yes, right.
And the fundamental thought process was, I could do something useful with this running.
Yes, yeah, yeah, totally. And that's something I am drifting into. I'm just saying, when I say I'm running a marathon, and people say, oh, who for? I always want to say, I'm just running a marathon. But
in a way, I'm travelling in the opposite direction.
Yeah, right.
But I think also at another level, you have to recognise, separate from us, what a positive. By the way, we're going up a massive hill.
Yes. We're doing okay.
You're listening, what's going on?
No, we're doing okay with
that,
actually.
Yeah, I know, but I think that the breathing factor might have changed.
Yeah, that's right. Enough.
But yeah.
Oh, most of all, it was.
You know, when it comes down to it, the London Marathon in particular, and with absolute respect to all the incredible fundraising I've seen and the people I've spoken to around Yorkshire in particular, these terrible sad stories and difficult things into something incredibly positive.
Yeah.
And there are specifically elements of the marathon running community who I think around the world now.
Yeah.
Who I think don't exist. I don't know. There's no negatives here. Because, you know, I reckon if you want to go to Victoria Park and run around it 7 times and get your best ever half marathon time, and that works for you, then that's brilliant.
Yeah.
But the fundraising is definitely part of the language of marathon running in the culture.
Yes, yeah,
and
yeah.
Particularly in British culture.
Yeah.
And so, but equally,
it's an incredible outpouring, isn't it, London? I mean, it is incredible.
Yeah.
I'm not particularly proud of my attitude. I suppose I'm just confessing to kind of lingering thing of how I always felt, you know.
Well, I think
it's just a weird sort of cultural shift in the last 20 years, really.
Yeah, and I think that's like,
which is positive
about my emotional journey. I think we're doing all right if we recognise that our own mindsets aren't necessarily A, everybody's mindset, and B, on message, you know.
Yeah.
Just that self-awareness is a good step.
Yes, I think so.
But I'll never forget, and this is why I'm sure I always mention it, but never forget doing the London Marathon just after the Boston bombing.
Yes.
Because it felt like the terrorists had won. It felt like they'd ruined it.
Right.
You know, I thought, oh, that's it now. The London Marathon's ruined.
Yeah.
Because everyone's going to be sad and scared. Which is stupid, of course.
Yes, of course, yeah.
That's how it felt.
Yeah.
And then just getting there and seeing that being turned on its head.
Yes.
by a group outpouring sympathy for those people, specifically runners who'd come from Boston.
Yes.
To go, sod you, I'm running this one as well.
Yes, and yeah,
that
amazing,
made
amazing.
Key in more so than ever before to people who are running in memory of people that were ill or people that were
yes,
gone.
Yeah.
Or the people themselves are running and were ill or people who are. Need water or
yeah,
saving animals. You know, it's all.
It's incredible. It's amazing. It's a real manifestation of people's desire to do good, isn't it?
That's right.
And that courage, that inner spirit thing.
And people need that.
Yeah, it's wild.
You know,
it's absolutely
happy,
wild. Yeah.
When there isn't any tragedy, people don't come together as a community
yeah.
in the same way.
Yeah.
It's a spark.
Yeah.
You know, something bad happening. It's a spark that draws us all together.
No, that one, I mean, just talking about it, but just made me realise that my most enjoyable marathon thus far was last year when we ran it comparatively slowly. I use that term loosely.
Just that was a jumping dog, by the way. That wasn't Paul acting out us thing last year.
No.
Woohoo! Let's go!
Funny little creature.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was just the most enjoyable time, just sharing yeah, yeah. in this experience, you know.
Well, I was talking to someone the other day about it, and I remembered the moment when we went past the Rundem crew supporting.
Oh, yeah. yeah, yeah.
About 22 miles.
Yeah, they were going wild,
just
weren't
incredible.
They?
Just incredible. One of their people was coming past, and everyone jumping
yeah.
up and down, setting
yeah.
off confetti cannons,
yeah.
big beats.
Yes.
We were literally just coming past.
Yes.
And we felt like we'd been given the keys to the city.
Yeah, it was
we?
Brilliant, yeah.
It's so good.
It certainly put the occasional, thank you, Marshall, in perspective, didn't it? No, it was, it's lovely, yeah. And surely that's the kind of thing moving forward, isn't it? As we look forward to a life of decrepitude and fading pace. It's a lot of fun back there. Do you know what I mean? There's a lot yeah. of fun to be had.
Yeah.
With all the characters. Like, I really like...
Well, I've got to say, I don't think you should draw that conclusion from my weekend.
Right.
That I'm... And
no,
I'm
not. No.
Looking forward to a life of decrepitude and fading pace.
No, you're just in the middle of a heavy training cycle.
Yeah.
That's what that is.
Absolutely. And actually... just to draw a line under it rather than go on about it, you've made me realise that there's a connection there, and ultimately a positive one, with where I am in my grieving cycle.
Yes, yes, yeah.
And I'm sure that if I get my... that if I stop keeping my sadness to myself and start fundraising,
yeah,
I can turn that whole...
You'll feel a bit lighter.
Pull it all together.
You'll feel a bit lighter.
You can go to Manchester... and feel good and fast
yeah.
and sad and miss dad and raise some money and just pull it all together
yeah, yeah.
in the crucible of joy in the face of adversity that is a marathon.
Yeah, assuming that we can find accommodation.
Yeah, we need to do that. My knee's not hurting too much.
We still,
driving up from Cardiff.
We still don't know where we're staying. We've got to sort that out.
I was going to ask the comedy store to
help us out.
To book their hotel for us.
Yeah, should we do that?
At our expense, of course. But they've got a nice hotel and a good relationship, haven't they?
Yeah, well, we'll ask them, because it'll be... we won't be the only people looking for hotels in Manchester that weekend.
You make an excellent point.
Because there'll be all the other people running the marathon.
Yeah.
Because all the Heathside lot have sorted theirs out months ago on the old WhatsApp group. They'd think we're insane that we're just talking about it now.
I can't believe I'm not in... I think I'm always talking about WhatsApp groups, so I feel lonely. I'm not really
You're not in any of them?
I mean, I'm in one with a family.
Right.
But no friendship groups.
I don't tend to key into them very often, but I'm in a few, yeah.
And don't you get updates all the time?
You get updates, but they don't. I've turned my notifications off on them, so I don't know when they come in. I don't need to know that all the time.
It's like when someone does email everyone in comedy.
Yeah.
You're guaranteed to several days of banter then, aren't you?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. So how's it going? How are you feeling? Are you feeling a bit shonky?
But absolutely fine, really.
Because you did 2.5 miles on the way, didn't you?
Yes, I did.
Right.
So how far are we?
So by the end of this, we'll have done about you'll have done about 12 and a half.
Yeah.
So if you're going to run home, that'll be...
Bang on.
A solid 15, yeah.
Bang on.
Yeah.
So yeah, we've come up the Park and Walk, looped Highgate Wood twice, run across the terrace to Ali Pally, and then turn right down to the Victoria Stakes,
and then up Muswell
Hill, along, going through Highgate Wood,
and then back home
one last time, and then we'll cruise back down.
Yeah,
and it is all gorgeous.
Yeah, it's been really, really
and
nice.
Slightly, not in any kind of taxing way, but a little bit bumpy.
Yeah,
which keeps the muscles moving around.
It's been good for me because I had a bit of a. I just ate a lot yesterday.
Yeah, drink? You drinking?
I drank a bit. I drank about a bottle and a quarter.
Yeah.
Which is enough, isn't it?
You can handle it.
I can handle it, but it, I can feel it, but it's a long way off a two-bottler.
Yeah.
But it was more or less sort of, I had breakfast and I went to church and I came back, then I had a bit of dinner, loads of biscuits, then a massive Sunday lunch, just loads of eating.
Yeah, yeah.
Loads of food. So, all in all, bit of a porker.
No, we went out for afternoon tea, which is a nice, you know, these days I think it's quite a fashionable, posh experience to have, isn't it?
Yeah.
But, and it was really lovely, but that's so funny because it doesn't really square with
doesn't
my
hit
simplistic
the,
view of experience.
Right.
I'm like, well, what is it?
Yes, yeah, yeah, yeah.
What is? So we're eating mid-afternoon.
Yeah.
And some of it's savoury and some of it's sweet.
Yeah.
And there's tea. I mean, what?
Yes.
What is that?
Yeah, you're not getting
why,
full.
I just want a big bowl of pasta at 7 p.m.
You don't get full there, do you, at afternoon tea?
No, but and then you've got that classic thing when you're having sweet treats where you can end up feeling boom.
Yeah.
And queasy without actually having eaten anything.
This is
so thanks, Mum. It's absolutely great. Lovely treat.
This is a bit of a social question for you. We're going round for Sunday lunch to someone's house in about a month or something. We're at the stage of diarising.
Yeah.
Diarising with intent to eat.
Yeah.
And they're like, do you want to come round for...
Start a WhatsApp group.
Yeah, do you want to come round for Sunday lunch about one-ish or come round about six-ish?
Yeah.
And have an evening. And it made us realise that we always go for bang in the middle. When we have people around for Sunday lunch, we say, turn up about half two, we'll eat about four, and then that's it. Then we don't eat anything else. So it's sort of like, you just have a huge meal, but there's no evening meal afterwards. And that's the way we do it.
Yeah, that's pretty harsh on all your
friends. How do you, is that absurd? Is that an absurd thing?
Well, you know, it's both.
Right.
On the one hand, they're thinking, damn it, what are we going to do with that? But on the other hand, yeah, we sometimes have people around at lunchtime for
roast. Right.
And then it's like, whoa, here it comes.
Yeah.
But equally, like at Christmas, we'll plan to have ours about early evening, kind of six.
Right.
So we won't have lunch then, we'll have brunch.
Right.
We have a big treaty brunch at like 11.
Right.
Just not hungry enough by six.
Yeah, 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 yeah,
so
yeah.
So reducing it to just one meal in the middle is a good idea.
Because the advantage of that is that you can run at half two. You might get a glass of something fizzy upon arrival.
Yep.
There'll be nibbles.
Yep.
Then out comes the meal and we're having red wine. And then by about half six, seven, we're really quite drunk then.
Yeah.
And you could probably go.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And then you've got a fairly early night on a Sunday, sober up before you get to sleep. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah,
do you not,
that is good.
It kind of... And yet, if people come around at one, it feels like there's all your Sunday afternoon gone, doesn't it? It's quite a big chunk of your Sunday, isn't it?
Yeah, selfish, just people coming around,
yeah,
taking your time.
But if they come around at six, that's all your Sunday evening.
Well, again, taking your time.
What I'm saying is I think we've found the best system.
The other
and why doesn't
really
everyone
like
do
that,
what we do?
Not necessarily at a roast, but at any meal. And maybe even... one of the reasons it's nice to have kind of courses, certainly dessert and cheese, if not starters.
Right.
Is when you sit down at the table, and then by the time you get up from the table, two things have happened. Three things. One, everyone's drunk.
Yes, yeah.
Two, all the food has been eaten.
Yes.
Because you've really paced yourself.
There's been a lot of it,
remember,
yeah.
Remember one of the first dinner parties me and my wife did? It was all our friends in the place where we both worked.
Right.
About a dozen people.
Right.
And we were bringing out the cheese board. And then we went, oh, I couldn't eat another thing. You know,
yeah.
And I put another hour and three quarters passes, and there is not a scrap.
Yes,
of
yeah. Yeah, yeah.
This is a big cheese board, isn't it?
Yeah.
And the third thing is, you've been there for hours.
Yes.
You spent a day at the table with your friends.
Yeah. So it's quite nice, yeah.
Apart from the bit where you want them all to go home at seven, I completely agree with you.
Yeah, it's not wanting them to go. Just, we've started washing up, so you might want to go.
Yeah, and you've stopped talking to them.
Yeah.
And no eye contact.
Yeah.
And you put them a cap.
Yeah. No, he's more of a natural. You can stay. Stay. No, stay. Or go.
Another mention for the aforementioned top comedian Ellen Tierney, who's got a joke about that being Irish.
Right.
Saying that that's what Brexit was like. It's like being at a party.
Yeah.
Someone says, oh, your cab's arrived. And he says, I didn't order a cab. No, no.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's been really nice to see you. The Uber's 1 minute away. It's always like, I think we've talked about that before, that thing when you leave a party and you do your big goodbyes and then you've left something and you go back and it's just all over. Yeah. It's just so, you know, in that 2 minutes since you've been away and come back again,
yeah,
there's nothing else to say. Here's your bag, see it, it's just gone, you know.
Yeah, that magic.
Yeah.
It's disappeared.
But that's hosting. We're hosting now. Well, that's
back
hosting.
In the day, you used to, you know, chase that to the nth degree.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
But equally, sometimes the latter part. Look at that, do you see that?
What was it?
Helicopter leaf coming down.
Oh.
Tried to catch it. And then, buh, 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 what's the next one? But if you didn't see it, it's not going to be that impressive. But sometimes, big parties, way back when, the morning was the best bit.
Yes.
You know?
What, when people stayed up all night?
Stay up all night.
Yeah, yeah.
And hanging around. A friend of mine who lives in this big fancy house. We, you know, when the parents away, we had a big, basically had a rave in the garden, you know.
Yeah.
Band and DJs.
Nice.
You know, if people got sleep. It was. There were tents.
Yeah.
People who lived there went in the house and went to sleep.
Yeah.
And the tent got them sleep. But then, of course, you sleep for an hour.
An hour, 2 hours maximum.
And then the music starts again or whatever.
Yeah.
And then being on the lawn in the sunshine, feeling really bedraggled. But sometimes the actual socials at that point.
Yes.
So good.
Well, everyone's
so much laughter.
Everyone's so open and messed up, aren't they?
Yeah, that's right.
And exactly. Especially when everyone knows each other so well, so there's nothing to prove.
No,
you know?
That's right.
Yeah.
Little soap operaist dramas of that particular night have all kind of played out.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. It's, you're just hanging out.
That's the thing about
shooting the breeze with your mates.
No, that's the thing. That's the weird thing.
About this is a bit, sorry, you remember I said I came here without you?
Yeah.
Came down this bit so fast.
Yeah.
I was like, ah, what's
yeah, that's dangerous. That's actually quite dangerous.
Sorry, you were saying?
I was saying that thing of when you're hosting when you get a bit older, it's like, and you go around to a couple's house, you know quite well and really should meet up, and now you are finally meeting up.
Yes.
You always feel on some level you're sort of giving an account of yourself.
Yeah, it's a report.
It's kind of, and they feel the same, isn't it? It's like an exchange of...
It's like an AGM.
Sort of double act exchange. So, I really think you should go now. I'm giving up it really badly, aren't I?
I think that... And it also, you know what I think? That I think is interesting. You'll see this and you'll get this. Is I think that... And maybe I have this too... Maybe it's why we're comedians, but I think that you find a necessary distance between yourself and your friends. You know, you need a kind of holding area.
Yeah.
So they sit there. Well, I'm WhatsApp, but I'm not being noticed. They come for lunch, but they're going home at 7. Or whatever else it might be.
And yeah.
It's like a safe,
maybe.
Distance, kind of personal safe space for your own uniqueness. And that's why comedy is great, because that's exactly what it is. You're in a room with all your best mates, except you're actually up on the stage.
Yes, yeah, yeah,
you're
yeah.
You're over there and you're over here.
Yeah.
And I think that, and I think it's completely valid, but I think it's important to remember sometimes that it's imaginary.
Yes, yeah, yeah, yeah.
It is all just us.
Yeah, 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 totally. It's sort of, I think maybe it's just because... I don't go out on a Saturday much, and Sundays are a little bit different, aren't they?
Yeah.
They're always, to a certain extent, overshadowed by Monday, aren't they?
Yeah, yeah, back to
so the everyone. So they've got that almost more than me, really. Because I'll happily get trolleyed on a Sunday.
Yeah.
But for others, they're coming off the back of Friday and Saturday night.
Yeah.
So we're going to have to get back to this couple and say, listen, we could come at... Midday-ish or
come
6, but we prefer to come at 2:30 and leave about 7:30.
Oh, wait, so you're trying to tell them when to
start. Yes, yes.
No, that is not...
Yes.
You do not get to decide.
We're just throwing it into the mix. How about this?
Nope. You are not hosting. You're the guest.
Yeah. As a guest, this would be our preference.
No.
Right.
No.
Right.
If that roaster's at one, you go yum yum yum.
Right.
That is exactly what I'd hoped.
But then
so,
when
on,
do you
say that back to me? Yum yum yum.
Yum yum yum.
This is
too early.
No.
When do we leave if you go at one to sit down and eat? I don't understand the rules for that. It's almost like going around for breakfast. Part of it is because we don't get to sleep till 3 on a Sunday morning, do we?
Yes.
A lot of the time. So one feels way too early for me.
Yeah, yeah. Well, people are talking about their Edinburgh show times. Last year, one of the shows I directed, which was a proper sort of grown-up, badass stand-up comedy
right.
hour.
Yeah.
It was on at about 25 to 1.
Yeah.
And, you know, I was directing it, and I never saw it without a copy in the naked book.
Yes, yeah, yeah, yeah. A bit too early.
And someone else was talking about a 1 o'clock show. That is a breakfast show at the end.
Yeah.
But when it comes down to it, that's the other thing about hosting is you can't really tell anyone to leave.
No.
Stay as long as they see fit.
Yes, yeah, yeah. Yeah.
Which is, you know, it's a danger.
Yeah. So if we rock up with, I thought you might let us go then. If we rock up with sandwiches and say, oh, we're here for tea as well, problem?
Again, you missed it.
Oh, dinner and sandwiches for an all-dayer. We like to watch The Crown every Sunday night on Netflix. Shut up! We're the guests!
Is it too funny the other way?
Oh, dear.
It's funny, isn't it, hosting? It's a thing. You're in charge of the room and you set all the rules. You get that with the comedy, don't you?
Yeah. Yeah.
They say in comedy, never blame the audience if the show is difficult for whatever reason. And
hosting's
the same. We love to bend that rule. So, I don't know, 2 times in 10.
Yeah.
Say those are all idiots. But that's why it's a rule, cause so that you don't do that too often and you feel bad about it at least. But sometimes, again, it's a subtle thing with a host. You can have an amazing compere.
Yeah.
But they're not necessarily teeing up an amazing gig.
Yes.
For all kinds of reasons.
Yeah, you can over-host, can't you?
Yeah,
because I tend to go, the way it goes with us is, I'm more your front of house guy. I'm more your jokes at the door, bring you in, sort you out a drink, couple of nibbles. Yeah, I'm your maitre d'.
Yeah.
I'll show you the wine recommendation.
Yeah.
How's it been? Meanwhile, Ra's slaving away.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So I'm kind of fronting the chaos of the kitchen.
Yeah.
How's it going in St. Newton?
Well,
a bit more equilibrium, I'd imagine.
Yeah, I think everyone is doing both those things.
Right.
But I do hide in the kitchen.
Oh, right.
So okay. I'll always fall back. But
right.
Of course, these days we have got an open space. So
yes.
You can do that without leaving the do.
Right, okay.
But I will kind of go, yeah, you know, it's that thing, again, tying it with the comedy. You hit a good, if you say something funny and nice that makes everyone feel comfortable, then I'll quickly pull back to the kitchen for 5 minutes.
Right.
Before I mess it up by saying something stupid.
Yeah, 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 yeah. It's, I've also got to make sure that we get the sequence of drinks right for Rachel, because that can destabilise the meal if there's too much boozing early doors.
Right.
I'm looking after both the guests and the other hosts as well.
Yes.
I'm straddling the two. It's a tough gig. I know it doesn't sound like it.
It's a slightly brutal subtext. You're kind of saying she does all the work and gets too drunk. And
well, no. Occasionally, the quality of the food has been compromised. But usually, everyone's having such a good time that
it
becomes...
Do you do any of the cooking?
No, very, very rarely.
Wow.
Very rarely.
Old school.
I do cook generally, but not when we've got people around.
Yeah.
Because why risk it? Let's give it your strengths. I do stand-up. Rachel has cooked four people, sort of almost semi-professionally.
Yeah.
We like to play to strengths.
So it's nothing to do with you being unreconstructive.
No. I'd prefer it if I was cooking. I'd love to be cooking.
In fact, next time you insist.
I have. If people want to come round for a plate of Papa's pasta bake, they're more than happy to do so. I've cooked the odd bolognese for a group, which went down sensationally. But people don't really bolognese is getting a bit dated, isn't it? People don't want bowling
nights. Again, if you do a really good one now, it's kind of retro hip.
Is it really?
Yeah, yeah. A lot of people, there tends to always be one when Lisa Tarbuck is finding out what everyone's having on Saturday night.
I'll tell you what, it's great that you mentioned her.
Yeah.
Because I was driving to a gig on Saturday night and I listened to her.
Yeah.
She is so good.
It's a great show.
She is fantastic.
Absolutely.
And I hadn't listened to it for ages. Like, why don't I listen? And does she live in Stoke Newington? Because she was mentioning Clissold Park and the...
Yeah, Highbury. She takes her dog. She lives near Tom Price.
Right,
she
okay.
Tom Price.
Right.
And I've met her through Tom Price. I didn't really know. I just thought to nod in Clissold Park.
Right, right.
But I love her radio show.
Yeah, I think she is fantastic.
So she makes things that other people fumble look really easy. It's got a kind of house style... There's the kind of games that everyone knows, but they don't make you feel left out.
She's really economical as well with the links, but homely and funny and flirty.
Yeah, and she's
flirty
also,
and
I love, which not all radio shows have, which she knows and loves the records.
Yeah, she knows the records. A lot of the time she's bought the records.
Yeah.
And she knows everything about them. She is fantastic.
Yeah, and then last time I said this online, someone, of course, said, oh, I can't stand it. And I just thought, well, good luck, but that just shows how good it is. You know, it's not bland.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
You know, and I should imagine, you know, I'm not going to say anyone with any sense, but that's not fair.
No.
There's a lot of people think it's brilliant. And then some people won't like it because it's got flavour.
Yes, yeah, yeah, totally. Totally. She's
not nothing.
She's very, very good.
Yeah,
because and as is, it has to be said, old Chris Evans.
Oh, he's got skills.
Just sitting in on his show like that, just realised how completely master of his domain he is.
Yeah.
But in a really inclusive, funny way. And they're very impressive, these people. When you see it up close, the energy that he gives it every day.
Would you do and radio again?
I'd love to do radio again, yeah, I loved it.
I'd go back to
absolutely
one of the
most
impressive things I had was when Lauren Laverne went from mid-morning to first thing in the morning.
Yeah.
That gear change.
Yeah.
Because it was a gear change, it was so subtle. You still get all her skills, but she just changed it up so that Biff Paff Bosh, she can, I don't know, somehow reach you in 20 minutes instead of an hour.
Yeah, it's got to be a bit quicker at breakfast, work. Yeah.
Very nice.
Yeah, 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 she's great. Well, she was doing a Desert Islanders with Zoe Ball, wasn't she?
Yeah, that's right.
The weekend, I'll have to have a look at that, yeah.
Yeah. Oh, I like Zoe as well. She's been into running, we said she'd get her out.
I know, they don't have guests on those shows. Because they were looking to try and get me on old Coxie, because she likes to run.
Yeah.
And Zoe Ball likes to run, but just couldn't get on her. So,
you used to work with Sarah Coxie.
I worked with Coxie, and I've worked with Zoe Ball briefly.
Yeah, me too.
Yeah,
she was. We did Soap Star Superstar.
All right, okay. we went away for a couple of days to watch Man United play Rapid Vienna in Vienna.
Nice.
And she was like my sort of fake girlfriend wife for the weekend or whatever, just for a laugh sort of thing. I was taking her to the game
with
a Sunday show. We had a real laugh, yeah. Those are the days. Paid to go to Vienna, nice hotel, chimping around. The money sloshing around then in telly. Not for the performance, just generally.
Yeah, yeah.
It was just good fun.
Yeah.
Can you imagine that now? You'd have to book your own flights to get there. It's just like...
I'm doing a gig. Having said that, I've booked to go and do some gigs in Azerbaijan.
Oh, yeah. What, the...
Baku.
Yeah, I... Yes, they asked me to do those.
Is there a parkrun in Baku? That's my question.
I don't know.
No, I think you should do it because we could both go.
Did you not get the impression, though, that was going to be some really hard gigs for Welsh football fans?
Yes, I did.
Reading between the lines.
But yeah. I just thought, if someone says, do you want to come to Baku?
Yeah.
Say yes.
That's fair enough.
Otherwise,
yeah.
When are you going to go to Baku?
That's fair enough, yeah. I don't want to go to Baku. No, it was... that'll be a laugh in Baku. I'll have a look at that. When is that? When are the deets?
Well, I don't know when I'm going, but I know when to get Baku.
That was almost like a setup, wasn't it? That was,
that
was a nice little moment.
Someone was saying about something about your book, and they said that'd be a novel idea. And you were ranting, so Robert liked it, or a bit of wordplay, don't encourage him.
Right.
It's not a novel, is it?
No, it's not, no.
It's a memoir, so.
Yeah. There are disciplines.
Exactly.
There are the rules of the form.
Obsessive compulsive, I am.
Yeah. I've had a lot of
So I haven't got time.
Nice feedback. Yeah. I've had a lot of nice feedback from it.
Yeah.
So far, which is good. And we're having a launch on Wednesday at Watson's, which you can you go to that?
Yeah. Is it? I mean, how strict are you going to be about food and when we leave?
Yeah.
Get there sharp, because.
Well, to be fair, that is.
Expect the turned back.
That is a 7 to.
The house lights to go on.
She was motoring then, wasn't she? That is a 7 to 8:30
yeah.
at Watson's, but it will go on. And it's a bit. Troublingly, it's 4 days before the Bramley 20.
And you're not allowed to leave because it's your party.
Yeah.
But you can cry if you want. Yeah. Cry if you want.
There's going to be lots of people. It's quite a good opportunity to nick books, isn't it?
Yes.
No Store Detectives, very busy shop. Loads of books around.
Comedy spotted air.
Comedian
own book.
Encouraging people to be pilfering books at Watson's Scratch and have
which is already in his
face. Midway through his own speech, he seems to be placing a copy of a book underneath his jumper.
He's like the Dillamore coat to be Bloody Hill. He has actually stolen the Cadogan Guide to Barley under the nose of Hugh Grant and Julia Roberts.
Some kind of flash mob event over, things out of control.
Literally encouraging kind of people not to buy his own book.
Do buy it!
Yeah.
Don't bother! If you don't like it, don't bother.
Just nick it! Yeah. Nick it, burn it! Yeah. He seems to have...
some kind of book burning.
Seems to be the same protagonist as we noted at the various radio stations last week.
Causing problems in the foyer, over.
Everyone is worried about his next book. Over.
Well, listen, what a great run. And you got 2.5 miles to go, but that was great.
Yeah, stick my headphones in, that'll be all right.
Tipping me along for that, mate. Let's see how long we have done.
We had a good old... Yeah, that's us.
Right, okay, cool.
Yeah,
right, I thought it'd be a bit more, but that's fine. That's
just
okay.
Over 8.5.
Right,
that
that's fine.
We'll you cope. Okay with that? We can go a bit further?
No, we can cope with that.
You can run me down to Finsbury Park?
No, I'm fine. I'm absolutely fine.
You're going to do 10.
I know, but I'm not going to.
You're
running
to 10.
You're running to 10.
I was going to ask you for your, you know, like, I was going to do serious marathon training tips, but we didn't get to it. Too busy talking.
Oh, that's a shame. All right, well, we can do it next time. We've got time.
We've got to do that next time.
Yeah, and we're going to do Bramley. I don't know whether we're going to podcast Bramley. We're just going to do it, aren't we?
Yeah. But we will certainly report
yes.
to some extent.
Yes.
That's the important thing. And talking of reporting, let us know what you're at, and more importantly, let us know what time you're serving lunch and what time we have to leave.
Yeah. Yeah. You don't have to go, but can I have your glasses?
Do you talk
you've been here
while you're walking?
You've been here since 2:30. What more do you want? 7:30. Thank you.
Hey, it's Danny Pellegrino from Everything Iconic. Ready to upgrade your style game without blowing your budget? Check out Quince. They've got all the good stuff, shirts and polos, activewear and fine leather goods, all at 50 to 80% less than other high-end brands. And the best part? They're all about safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get that luxury vibe without the luxury price tag. Hit up quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. That's quince.com/upgrade.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.